Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waving for the video portion of our show, just so people can tell, you know, which one you are. Jeff Nicholas, the CEO of Compliant Technologies, the glove guy. Yeah, he is back. And look, we've also got Agent Shane, and I'm going to let him introduce himself in just 1 second. And then we've got MPO Master Police Officer, and that is Demetrius over here. So, and I'll let you guys introduce yourselves in just 1 second. You know, we are still live at the Plessis Conference, and yet we are still in Dallas, Texas. So it's been going pretty good. And Jeff here was at a rodeo, and that happened, I believe, last night. They got back in one piece. They're not talking a lot about it. I don't know what transpired, but it's all good. And I just want to mention our sponsors as well, guys. Please support our sponsors to go the great lengths to bring this good, you know, quality content to you. You know, we've got our title sponsor, and that is going to be Gauls at Gauls.com. Don't forget that discount code. It's Radio15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase. It works on most items. And we've got Compliant Technologies, and that is Jeff's company. Of course, we all know about the glove. That's their flagship product. And yeah, it was on demonstration a couple of days ago, and it was pretty impressive. We have gunlearn.com, mymedicare.live, and twobells.com. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. Please check that out in case you want to get cool gear like the shirt I'm wearing. You can't see it, but you will in a minute. Brett's wearing one as well. A shout out to our partners that are helping get this content out there. We've got Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press. He's also getting our content on MSN with tampafp.com. Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com. Travis Yates, our very own, with lawofficer.com. And, you know, guys are asking us, hey, look, please tell us how we can watch your show. The best thing to do is to go to leoroundtable.com, the top menu bar tells you on every outlet we're at, if it's a radio station, location, the date, time, the signal, all that stuff. But we are on podcast. If it's a podcast platform, we're going to be on it. But specifically, yes, we are on Spotify, and we are on Apple iTunes, and also on social media, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, X, True Social, all those were on it as well. So please check out the show, watch it regularly. It is a daily show that runs. The live show is 12 o'clock Eastern every day. And then we have a produced version of that live show that comes out at 9 o'clock the next morning, where we embed any videos that we end up talking about. So that said, I'm going to have our guests go. And that's a screenshot from yesterday's show, by the way, that our producer put up there. I just happened to pop up on my screen. So, but that's from yesterday's show. But guys, I'm going to let you guys introduce yourself. Jeff, why don't you go first? I know people are already familiar with you, but why don't you go and refresh your memory about Compliant Technologies, and then we'll let our other guests go.
Yeah, well, we're glad to be here at the Plessis. We're one of the sponsors here for that, and I believe our technology fits in with what Plessis and Community Relations is: low optics, humane de-escalation for our men and women uniform, and it's truly non-lethal, very humane alternative. When we talk about use of force, we're at hundreds of thousands of uses with no injuries and no lawsuits, and we're growing across the nation and around the world. So we're just honored to be here, and we're honored to partner with you.
All right. I love it. I love it. Demetrius, why don't you go ahead and take it up next?
Sure. Yeah. My name is Demetrius Mastoris. I'm a retired master police officer from Arlington County, Virginia. I'm now the executive vice president of Safe Night LLC. And I've been here multiple. I was here at the inaugural Plessis conference. I'm spreading the message here that if we're going to professionalize this, we need to introduce evidence-based research and practice to this work. We can't keep winging it. Traditional community policing just isn't cutting it. And just doing events like Coffee with a Cop, we need formal, systematic ways of building relationships with people who are closest to the problems. And that's what I've been spreading the gospel about here at this conference specifically. And in our work with Safe Night, you know, I get to work on a myriad of problems, whether it's homelessness or downtown violence. We work with cities and kind of herd the cats. We introduce a unified strategy. We introduce evidence-based research to support our work, and then empower those agencies to follow a blueprint that they can replicate for lots of different problems. So that's, you know, it's about co-production of safety. That's really what we're focused on. So right. I love coming here and getting people introduced to a new way of thinking about things. And this is really where we should be going as a profession. So it's encouraging to hear federal agencies like the director talk about these things. I think they're starting to recognize that more needs to be done, and there is a path to do it.
Yeah, and you put out fires basically for a
living. Yeah, I wish cities would call us when the house is not burning and doing this work on the forefront. But you're right, prevention is really what gets you through. Stop with all this reactive ways of doing things. That's how I spent most of my career, was just reacting to calls, right? And then when you realize that, being in charge of a multidisciplinary team that includes fire and code compliance, public health, the state ABC, more can be done when you have more people on that same prevention, framework, and know what their jobs are and accountabilities are, which is, instead of just people just doing stuff.
So I'm going to go in and say what Brett is thinking right now, because Brett, people can't see him, but Brett is like, he's walking around filming. So Brett is thinking that, guys, the advantage here is that he's putting out fires, but he's not a hose dragger. That's what Brett's thinking right now. So Brett also,
well, to your point, every cop wants to be a fireman. Every fireman wants to be a cop.
Well, no. The click. So Brett taught me that firefighters are firefighters only because they couldn't become cops.
Perhaps.
So no, we're having fun with our firefighter brothers and sisters. So now Shane's up. Now, we had some people come by and say he really goes by Sugar Shane. I did not see that on the paperwork. I would like him to explain it too, but Sugar Shane, I mean, Shane, you're up. So introduce yourself, buddy.
First of all, thank you for having me here. This is my first time here. I'm here as a speaker. So I'm a federal agent with the Department of Homeland Security, based out of the Washington Field Office. I say Washington Field Office, but I'm actually in Chantilly. Most federal agencies are. But I represent the National Asian Peace Officers Association, APOA. I am the current president. I'm in my third year. I have one more year left, thank God. But why am I here for this conference specifically? I was asked to speak about, what are the challenges that we have within the Asian community and within our own association. We represent not just, when I say Asians, Chinese or Koreans, and there are some, challenges within them alone. The Japanese, but we also have the Desi Society. We're extremely diverse. We represent about 4,000 Asians Americans in North America, 30 chapters. But we are pretty much, when we look at the demographics in the U.S., where population is 50% of them are in the West Coast, 25% on the East Coast, Northeast, and then you take it. Look at the overall picture of the U.S., take out Minnesota, Chicago, Houston, and Dallas, kind of spread out, and we're trying to reach them as well. Thank you for the opportunity of being here for them. But also, culturally, we have our issues. Our issues are, if you're not a doctor, an attorney, a CPA, you're a bad Korean. So I'm not saying the Asians you get in your law enforcement aren't the best. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
But they're not doctors and attorneys. And that's something we're trying to stress to the Asian community, that it's okay to give back. It really is. I'm not sure if you remember Winston Liu in New York. He was assassinated. It was him and his partner, remember? He was an immigrant. He wanted to join the NYPD. He wanted to give back to his adopted country. He's an inspiration. I myself am adopted. So yes, I wanted to give back to my community, my American community, my home. We're trying to get to the parents, the culture, it is okay. I'll tell you a story. A good friend, you might know him actually, Wilson Lee out of Fairfax.
No, I'm not familiar with him.
Assistant chief over there, Fairfax. Okay. He was going to school as an engineer. Told his parents he's going to switch. Boy, and he'd go to law enforcement. They did not want to talk to him.
Shane,
I lied to you not.
I'm with you.
Right.
They're trying to convince my Greek uncles that I shouldn't continue to run the diner. There's a track. Believe me.
Yeah,
we all have to run a diner at some point.
But did they make good gyros? Wow.
Baklava. Tell me where it is. And I'll be there. Be down there.
No, you're making a great point, though. It's that there is a track that's expected.
Yeah, 100%. It's not just Asians, but it is across the board. That's the best way to give back.
Right.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I'm glad to have you guys on the show. I know we got 2 minutes. Brett's working his way around the corner. I know that we kind of hinted that, Kash Patel was going to be talking yesterday. And this is after we got done talking about Todd Blanche. And we've had the director for the ATF We've had the DEA here. I think I'm missing an agency.
The Marshals, ATF and FBI.
Yeah, that's just, it's been an incredible show. Brett, work your way around. I want you to get the guys the update on what happened with the talk with Kash Patel.
Well, what I took away from his conversation was I've never heard anybody at that level say it. He wants to bring his agency closer to the community, and these are my words, not have those levels of separation. You know, right now it's federal, state, local, then the people. I think he wants to get rid of the separation. He was talking about having people come visit the local field offices, and it's really encouraging because, you know, law enforcement is us. We're law enforcement. They're us. And it was very encouraging to hear him say, we want to bring the community in closer to us. I thought that was very good.
You're onto something here. And there's always been a real separation with federal agencies and state agencies. We know local cops are pretty good at being in the neighborhoods and getting to know the folks that they work with, right? But there's a real divide and separation between those federal and state agencies. You don't commonly see state troopers doing a whole lot of community engagement, and you definitely don't see federal officers doing that kind of work. So he kind of put a flag in the sand saying, this is going to be important to our agencies. We're going to take this seriously and commit to this, just by the fact that they're showing up here saying that at a conference like this, rather than, you know, perhaps like ISUV. It's making a statement that this is a core value, and they need a process essentially to fulfill that, though. And so it's that's what you separate between philosophy and actually getting something done, which is the what now.
Perfect timing. Guys, we are up for our first commercial break, so thank you. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We are joined by, you know him, CEO Jeff Nicholas with Compliant Technologies, The Glove, which you actually just ordered a second ago, and that's making me nervous. We've also got MPO and Demetrius, and we've also got Agent Shane here next. I'm Sugar Shane. So Brett shaking his head. Hey, if Brett was hosting the show, then it would be much worse. Yeah, he's like, I am saving you guys.
You don't know what would be said.
You never know. He'd be doing things like, hey, pull my finger, you know, stuff like that. So you never know.
Age now, nobody cares about it.
So Brett just actually came on the show and talked about some of the stuff that Cash was talking about yesterday. Now, the format for Cash, as opposed to our AG Todd Blanche, was a little different. It was more of a sit down round table, kind of like a Q&A kind of a thing. So the format was a little bit different, but that's what he talked about. It was kind of cool because during the live show yesterday, right over in that room, I mean, we were like, there was Secret Service everywhere. And Cash was in there getting ready to go out and stuff. So as soon as we shut down, he was going on stage. So there was just really a lot of activity. And Brett, every time a Secret Service dude walked by, and he's trying not to be, you know, stick out. And Brett's like waving at him and stuff and trying to get their attention. Brett, you're just like cruel, dude. You're just, yeah. So it's all good. So
you don't have mirrored sunglasses.
So yeah. You've got some in your cabinet. All right. So, you know, talking about putting out fires. Let's go to that. We've seen a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of communities that are battling with everything from the, you know, retention rate with police department stuff to stuff going on in the community. I'm not talking about, you know, riots and mayhem. I'm just talking about really quality of life issues, I think, for lack for a better term. You've got a municipality or jurisdiction that is dealing with a homeless population. I think it's fairly safe to say that historically you've got other issues that can complicate that. You've got maybe a higher crime rate area because of that. Not necessarily say that we have all the answers to that, but you likely do, Demetrius, because you deal with this on a daily basis. So I'm kind of curious if you're watching the show, but if you're a civilian and you live in an area like that has issues like that, or if you're law enforcement, active or retired, but especially active, or maybe you're a command staff level person and you've had issues with how to address and deal with that. You're worried about expense. You're worried about certainly about optics. Right. How do you deal with that, Demetrius?
Well, I got to tell you, in my role with Safe Night, we're asked to come to communities and deal with these very complex issues.
So the community will call you guys to come in.
And it could be the municipality. It could be, the city administrator. It could be the continuum of care that's running, the homeless outreach response for the state in that section of the state. What we really find is we hear a lot of police chiefs and executives say, well, we're not going to arrest our way out of the problem. They don't really know what that means. It's easy to say that on to a reporter or for media, but actually having your officers on the ground know what to do and how to manage these issues, that's the separation. And research just came out from the National Policing Institute that there is no formal model for police and law enforcement responses to homelessness. Everyone's just kind of winging it. There are very successful programs like in Wichita and Houston, but when you want to start doing this work at a high level in your city, you just reach out to those cops and say, well, what are you guys doing? And they send the SOP or the general orders, and you just hope that you're doing the right things. What we're saying is that through our model with the Proactive Alliance Homeless Outreach model, we're saying this model is backed by research. We know what works and why. And the research also suggests and tells us that police need to support social services. It needs to be in coordination. Police need to be a spoke in the wheel as opposed to leading these efforts. It's frankly unfair to law enforcement to expect this level of care and work because they're going to do what they know to do, right? We really only know if we see a problem, we see a crime, we're going to make an arrest. But that puts a strain on the system. We know that it's not an efficient way to do work.
Okay.
Right? And that's really what we're talking about is police need to understand how they can support this work in a better way. And enforcement is sometimes an option, right? But as long as it's done in a coordinated way and trying to convince and help people understand that they all need to work together, that's the hard part because we all work in silos, right? We're all just doing stuff to do stuff. Bringing all those people together for a unified outcome, that's a different story. And now you have accountability for social services. Now you have accountability for the police department. Now you have accountability for the state agencies. You can't just say, well, we're doing stuff in our own little silo anymore.
All right, well, thank you. And I was going to say, Jeff, that's a beautiful segue to what you're doing because you're working with the mental health facilities and you're up close and personal with the homeless population. You're worried about optics in case you have to do, the law enforcement thing.
Yeah. Can I just comment on what he said as well, just from the statistics?
Absolutely.
We're working with all those and we have great results. But this is what's happened over the years. The sheriffs and county jails have become the mental health institutions in the country.
Right.
They're not funded. They're not equipped. It's a drain on resources. Exactly what he's talking about. And I know that the Trump administration is working on bringing back behavioral health institutions and facilities, which is what we desperately need because
Absolutely.
Think how much that would be a burden off of sheriffs and police departments dealing with that, knowing that there's a place to go besides just the county jail. And that just creates a whole nother set of circumstances inside the jails and it causes a lot of problems.
To your point, housing first works, but it needs another component. It can't be one or the other. It's something in the middle, right? You can't just put all the weight on the jails and they're not built to do it.
Yeah. Corrections officers are not trained to deal with behavioral health and it becomes basically a holding pen.
Right.
And it just creates all kind of disasters.
Right. When the goal is to get them into services and get them into housing. Right.
So I know Shane, I don't know if you remember, but I started my law enforcement career before you did. I was in 83 and there were mental health facilities everywhere. So, and Brett remembers because we were there. There are mental health facilities everywhere. In Florida, we call it Baker X. And we got these guys the help that they needed. They could self-admit or they could go through a 24, 48 hour hold when we did it. And then in the 90s, we started seeing these places disappear. And the sad thing is that like Jeff said, and he's right, we still institutionalize these guys, But we do it in prisons where they can't get the help that they need. And it just, and even you know, the light bulb went off for every act of Leo, the light bulb went off and said, wow, we're doing things differently. And, you know, well, what could go wrong with that?
When you said you and Brett did it, was that, were you guys roommates?
Yeah.
In those?
No.
Well,
no.
So we didn't speak about it. You were there.
All right.
Personally.
15 seconds, guys. We're going for our second commercial break. And yeah, now the pressure's on because I have to talk about this company live. What could go wrong? We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, we all know by now their flagship product is called the Glove. I'm looking at one right now. It's not only helped officers tens of thousands of times, but they've actually had over 250,000 deployments. And guess what? No injuries, no deaths. Amazing statistic. They've actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only produce non-lethal results. So when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today. Tell them that Chip and Chef sent you. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And yes, we are still joined by CEO Jeff Nicholas from Compliant Technologies, the Glove. He's brought out a couple of gloves. I don't know if it's to intimidate us or not, but they're sitting on the table. I don't think they're active, so I think we're okay. And we got Lieutenant Matthew. I'm going to let him introduce himself in 1 second. And Revan Markell, I tell you, I'm so excited to get you on the show.
It's a pleasure and an honor to be here.
So why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves first to the audience that may be familiar with you or may not know. Can you just tell our audience, the camera's right there, on who you are? And actually, if you could plug the conference. I want people to know about the conference. And I know you relocate typically, you know, every year to a new location. I don't know if you know if you're ready to announce the location for next year yet or not, but I want people to find out about this so they can support it and stuff, especially people that want to sponsor it.
So I'm Reverend Markell Hutchins. I'm the chairman and CEO of Movement Forward and the lead organizer of our core programming, National Faith and Blue Weekend, which is of course the largest law enforcement community engagement program in the country. There are thousands of faith-based organizations that partner with law enforcement across all 50 states in this country. Faith in Blue Weekend is every October. It's the second weekend in October. So we created Faith in Blue Weekend, and out of that has grown the Professionalizing Law Enforcement Community Engagement, or PLESET, National Conference. And the whole point of this conference, Chip, is to ensure that we're getting to the field the best practices, the most current research, and the best scholarship available around community engagement, which encompasses community policing, community outreach, community affairs. There's not a more critical topic or hot topic in the profession today than community engagement, because community relationships aren't just about niceties. I think agencies are really beginning to understand you can't recruit and retain, you can't hire new people, you can't build trust, which ultimately means it's difficult to reduce crime without good community relationships. And before we created this conference, community policing was treated more as an ancillary function as opposed to a core and essential element of a public safety strategy. So we created PLESET with all the national groups specifically to professionalize community outreach, community engagement, community policing within the profession as a rigorously trained, specialized discipline within policing, just like SWAT or narcotics or forensics or any other specialty area. And that's what PLESET is all about. And I can tell you, as you can tell, the response has been overwhelming. This is just the fourth year. And Jeff, we have grown this tremendously. So as your audience may have heard by now through the show yesterday, the Attorney General of the United States of America, the head of the FBI, ATF, DEA, U.S. Marshal Service, but most importantly, community-focused law enforcement professionals at every level of law enforcement. So local, state, federal, tribal, transit, campus, even military police, prosecutors are here from across all 50 states. So it's really a powerful testament that there is a desire in the profession to really focus on how to best utilize community relationships to reduce crime. And that's why I think we've had such success with Plessis.
I love it. And guy, audience, notice that he said training a number of times, and we're most of the people involved with Leo Roundtable were trainers at heart. And that really is a core, it creates like a core value system. You know, training is just so important. So I love the way you highlighted on that. We have Lieutenant Matthew on the other end here. Could you just introduce yourself, please, and tell people about your background?
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks for having me. My name is Matthew McKinney. I'm a lieutenant with the Urbana Police Department in Urbana, Illinois. I work in our services division. I started out as a patrol officer, worked my way up to patrol sergeant. I was a team leader of our countywide SWAT team. And just like Reverend Hutchins said, I can't thank him enough and this organization moving forward enough, because about 4 years ago, when the first conference really started to happen, I heard about it. And community engagement was always kind of one of the passions of my career. But I was never really given any direction or advice on what that should look like or how that should go. And when I saw that this conference was going to happen, my department was lucky enough to send two people, and myself and Dr. LaShonda Cunningham at the time attended the conference. And each year we've sent more people. We brought four people. We're a mid-sized agency. We have 63 sworn on staff, and we purposely make it a point, because this conference and this training is so valuable and important, that we budget for this and plan ahead, because we know the impact and we've seen it firsthand now. My chief at the Urbana Police Department, Larry D. Boone, came to us from Norfolk, which is a large agency, with a very different mindset than we had typically had, which really facilitated us being able to take part in this training and expand. And we have felt firsthand what that relationship and authenticity with our community and our partners and stakeholders really can do. And we've just benefited greatly from this organization, this training, and consistency with really engaging with our community at a meaningful boots on the ground type level.
I love it. I love it. Now, Reverend, if people are watching this and they're saying, hey, we want to get involved, or we want to find out what's going to happen next year. I know the current website, it's PlessetConference2006.org, I believe.
2026, yes.
So how can, I'm 2026, thank you. How can they get more information?
Well, they can certainly call us at the national office at 404-605-7000. Within the next few months, we will go through the process of determining where the Plessis conference will be held. One of the things we're really focused on this year is, and I had some great conversation with the Attorney General yesterday. We really want to make sure that in 2027, we make Plessis as accessible as possible to small and mid-sized agencies. There's so much emphasis in policing, especially in these types of circles, on big agencies, on large major agencies or major sheriff's offices and police departments. But really, most law enforcement officers in this country work in small and rural agencies.
Right.
And we want them to have access to the type of training that's available at Plessis. And as Lieutenant McKinney mentioned, that most often when a person is assigned to community policing or community outreach, they receive no direction, they receive no training. It's kind of treated as I suggested, as an ancillary function, like, hey, Officer Mike, I think you'd be good. Now you're in community engagement, go do great things, without any sort of direction, which is very different than every other area that is a specialized function within policing. So when we started to see that, we said, you know, this particular area of law enforcement is increasingly critical, particularly given all that has happened over the last decade. And we ought to provide the same level of support and training to the women and men that do the work of community outreach on behalf of their agencies. Again, understanding very clearly that it is essential and important and vital part of any crime reduction strategy. And that's sort of how we came to the place where we're offering this conference broadly.
So let me ask you, you know, as the reference talk, it rings. I mean, even if you get promoted in most agencies as a detective, you're not going to get the training. They just say, hey, go figure it out, right? I mean, how do you, now you're doing latent investigations, and it's just so different from patrol work. And Brett, how much training did you get when you became a captain? Like
zero.
Right. So if you're talking about the smaller and middle-sized agencies too, they simply don't have the infrastructure and the ability to get the help they need. Even with relationships with state attorneys and district attorney offices, it just doesn't necessarily exist. Sometimes they get information about new search and seizure laws or Supreme Court decisions or lower court decisions from shows like this. So if you're a middle to smaller size agency and they're on board, they want to establish some of the stuff that you're talking about, but they don't have the people to write the SOPs or come up with the training. How can they, what kind of resources are available to them to get that done?
Well, a part of why we created the Plessit Conference was to provide an avenue for people that do this body of work to connect to their colleagues across the country. I cannot tell you the number of people who have said to me, one of the best things that they got out of this conference was being introduced to some of their colleagues that do the same kind of work across the country. If you're a police chief or a sheriff, you get to go to the National Sheriff's Association Conference or the IACP Conference or your state chief's or sheriff's conference because, and it gives you the opportunity to collaborate with your counterparts and colleagues. But before we created this conference, there was not that opportunity for people that are responsible for community engagement. They were kind of left to their own devices. And so one of the things that I think is a major outcome and one of the things that people can do is to get here. Again, we will decide over the next few months. And there are a lot of factors that come into play in terms of our decision making about where the conference will be. But the most important consideration is cost. This is a 5-day conference, and the cost of the training to attend and registration is $399. That is less than half of what most conferences offer that are much shorter. We try to make this affordable. It's very difficult because we don't get the sort of funding and support that organizations that are not as interested in bringing law enforcement and communities together receive. But we do all that we can with the little resources that we have. So we're going to continue to expand and hope that some of the small and mid-sized agencies are able to take advantage of this.
I love it. Well, we're coming up on our third commercial break, so guys, stick with us. Reverend, everybody, we'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And guys, there's some new stuff going on with GunLearn, so pay attention. They have changed the script. So with GunLearn.com, they are the first and they're the only company that offers a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, competent, and certified firearm specialist. Now, they've been doing this since 1996, but here's the new deal. If you have a certified firearm specialist certification, like even Captain Brett Burley does, and I know you're wondering how in the world he did that, but even if you have it, it's 5 years old, it's now worth college credits. They partnered with Smarter Degree and the university partners in order to make that worth college credits, and that is a huge deal. Again, it's a certified firearm specialist degree from GunLearn.com. Now, I mentioned they've been doing this since 1996. They've been teaching everything that LEOs, which is law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. Now, you can start the day with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar and go to GunLearn.com for more information. Welcome back. LEO Roundtable at LEORoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And yes, we still have CEO Jeff Nicholas. I called you by your right name the entire show. Did you realize that?
Yeah, you didn't call me Jack today.
I didn't call you Jack today.
I wish I could play golf like
that. Yeah, Jack Nicholas, yeah. We have Lieutenant Matthew over here on the side who's getting ready to talk about something. And we have, yes, a new addition. It's not Reverend Markell. He has been swapped out. We actually have Officer Maria here. So welcome to the show.
Hi.
And can you give people just a little bit of an introduction about who you are and your background?
Yeah, of course. Hi, everyone. I'm Officer Maria Owens. I am from Philly PD. I am currently a community relations officer assigned to our Police Explorers Unit. So our Police Explorers Unit is it's like a mini police academy.
Right.
We train young adults towards ages 14 to 20. And kind of do all the different trainings and then build them up so they can apply straight into the department.
So I'm glad you brought that up. And I haven't forgotten about your lieutenant on the side there. But we have an explorer program at my agency, Tampa. What is the, if you had to guess about a percentage of how many explorers, and I know that some are in the program for years and some are in there maybe short term, but any explorer or applicant that entered the Explorer program at any point in time, what percentage of those actually go on to become police officers? Do you have any idea?
I don't know what the full percentage is, but I know just last year alone, we had five
that
went into the department. Yeah.
Wow.
And then currently right now we have three that are going through the process. We'll have another two that will apply by the end of the year. And then next year we have five that are applying.
Okay. That is, I mean, that is substantial to me.
Yeah.
So, parents, if you're watching this program and your kids have an interest and you're wondering, there's no benefit or they're not going to transition on to go into law enforcement. Apparently there's a decent chance that they could, or at least they'll find out whether they want to or not by maybe doing the Explorer program.
You know what? We have a lot that even though they don't want to go into law enforcement, they still stay from the ages of 14 to 20 because it gives them like the discipline. It gives them responsibilities. We have ranks. So you can become a corporal, a sergeant, a lieutenant, the captain, and they kind of run themselves.
Okay.
We're there as support, but for the most part, the cadets are they're the ones who put on the program and all of that. We'll do like some of the trainings, but they run the thing themselves.
And they can be in the program till they're 20 years old?
20 years old. And we also currently have a program with one of our city departments where they can, at the age of 18, they'll get a job with the city department that does security during in our center city. So it's called Center City District. They'll apply there and they get a job.
All right. That's pretty, I just learned, so I didn't know all that. So that's pretty good stuff. Lieutenant, I know that you wanted to expound on some stuff. So the microphone is yours.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So one of the things that Reverend Hutchins touched on was the kind of smaller to mid-sized agencies and the difficulty sometimes sending people to training, especially these bigger ones. And they've been very thoughtful about that. And one of the other things that came from after the first year this training was hosted, the following year, they started what's called the Law Enforcement Community Engagement Network. You know, every other professional organization in policing, like SWAT has ITOA and NTOA, drug enforcement, you know, Chiefs of Police Association. The goal is similar with Movement Forward, and they started the Law Enforcement Community Engagement Network. And it's all the like-minded folks that are officers or work in this space. And have the ability with trainings and message boards to be able to share information. And if you don't have the opportunity to go to a training or you know, send multiple people, it's a good place to go to be able to interface and get ideas and share, hey, this worked really well, this didn't work really well. And it's LECEN is the acronym. It's LECEN.org, LECEN.org.
Okay.
If you're an officer out there in one of those agencies or you're in a big one, it's a great place. Go online, join, and we'd love to have you. It's a fantastic opportunity to really learn, grow. It doesn't really cost a whole lot for your department other than time and energy.
You know, when the Reverend was talking, he was talking about, he didn't use the word relationships, but he essentially was talking about relationships, you know, and we quickly have seen this conference do exactly that, right?
Sure.
And especially when you're talking about a smaller than medium-sized agencies, it's all about hooking them up with partners to help get that done, which is what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even Jeff here with Compliant Technologies in the glove, which is, again, I just want to point out, it's not a less lethal device. It's a non-lethal. They've never even had an injury resulting in that. And when I got gloved, I was trying to injure myself and I was just unable to. It was just, you know, it's amazing that there are other devices out there that lock you up. And when you go down, you have no way. You'll face plant, you'll hit a curb. There's been some stuff going on with that, but you're able to put your hand out and protect yourself, roll and break your fall and all that stuff. And you know, that's just amazing. But when you're talking about optics and stuff and dealing with the public or close stuff, and you've got a situation where a lot of law enforcement officers today through other devices are becoming so reliant on those devices that they don't want to go hands-on anymore, which as a guy that started back in 83, watching our cops not have a reluctance to go hands-on bothers me. And you're at a distance and things just escalate. You cannot a lot of times slow things down without going hands-on. And the glove, those officers, even if they're maybe smaller or they've never, a lot of guys that go through training, they've never been in a fight before until they get to the police academy, right? And it gives them that little boost of confidence because now they've got something, and it's just a glove. You can shoot with it, you can do whatever you normally would do with it. Even if it's active, I can do all this and it's not going to activate unless I touch skin. And you can put a 300-pound dude on his, you know, on the ground and the optics are beautiful. It doesn't look bad, you know, and he's just, he looks like he's just putting himself on the ground. So, so there's a lot of good things with relationships that are going on through conference, through this conference.
Yeah, question, can I just speak to the Mullen rule? And I think that Lieutenant, most people don't realize, I'll ask a lot of people, even in law enforcement, what's the average size of police department in our country? It's 10 officers.
Yep.
So, and if we have an 84% reduction in injuries, to that department that has 10 guys, you lose one to an injury, you've just lost 10% of your force.
That's a good point.
And that's huge point. Because then he'll feel pressure to come back and maybe he's not 100%. So this is one of the reasons why we started this company. It wasn't about, you know, we're hoping to start a test and evaluation in Philly soon.
I was just going to say.
Really?
That would be amazing in Philly. We have so many officers that get injured.
Well, we're working
all
it.
The time.
Yeah.
Especially like 2020,
you
know, so many people from injuries.
Yeah. Wow. This is why we started it. And I don't want this to be a commercial for compliant technologies because there's so many challenges. But I do want to say one thing about PlusIT. PlusIT is going to become a conference that's equal to the National Sheriff's Association. It's going to be equal to IACP. Give it 3 years, it's going to be one of the go-to conferences because the topics that this is one of the reasons why we started this was to better. This tool is to better relationships because of the low optics and de-escalation to create better optics and better communication and a better society. And I feel honored to be here and along these guys that do this hard work. And I just really appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah. Chip, if you'll indulge me, I got a story. I'll make it quick. I'm not good at making short stories.
As long as it's shorter than a minute and 29 seconds, we're good.
I get it done. So exactly what you're saying is accurate. And I appreciate you being here and other organizations with amazing products that can help us out in the public. This conference is relationship building 101. And a perfect example is last year, there was a horrible tragedy. An officer in Chicago PD was killed. And a perfect example of relationship building. Officer Owens, who I had met last year at the conference, went out of her way to collect money and bring dinner to the precinct that was affected, and multiple other parts of Chicago PD were taken care of because of people like Maria. And it was fantastic to watch. It was unbelievably impressive. And these kind of relationships are because of this conference. That's what happens from stuff like this.
Wow. Yeah. It really is all about relationships. So that's a fantastic story. Yeah. So, well, guys, I know we've got 33 seconds before we kind of start winding it down. You know what? I was going to ask if you guys had the glove yet, and then you beat me to it. So
we need the glove. So I wish we had the glove now.
We're working on it. We're almost there.
Our city is. We have a lot of big events coming up, starting in like the next week. So the glove would be amazing.
All right. Well. Guys, thank you guys so much for being here. And, you know, Lieutenant Matthew, and we've got Officer Maria to my side. And this guy, my cohort, Jeff Nicholas, not Jack Nicholas, Jeff Nicholas with Compliant Technologies and the Glove. We're here wrapping up the tail end of the PlusIT Conference, which is in Dallas, Texas. It's PlusITConference2026.org in case anybody wants to check it out. And we just had Reverend Markel Hutchins that was on the show talking about in the next couple of months, they're going to announce where the next conference is going to be at, which I'm kind of curious because I went to the one 2 years ago that was in Atlanta. So it was, I can't wait to hear. I think that we'll all be here doing the same thing.
You hope to be part of that.
So Lieutenant Matthew McKinney, and I'm looking here because I didn't memorize the last names, Officer Maria Owens. So thank you guys so much for being on the show. And also Jeff Nicholas with Compliant Technologies. Thank you guys so much. And hey, I want to recognize our sponsors too. They go to great lengths to bring this quality content to you. So we have Gallus.com, ComplianTechnologies.com, Gunlearn.com, MyMedicare.live. We've got TwoBells.com. And so thanks, guys, for watching the show. We appreciate it. And we'll see you back on Monday, 12 noon Eastern.